Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, the only show that takes a look at the obstacles and opportunities open to small to mid-sized enterprises that manufacture here in America. Brought to you by All Metals and Forge Group, with your hosts, Tim Grady and Lou Wise.
Welcome, listeners. We're certainly back. Glad to be back with Manufacturing Talk Radio. Lou, how are you today?
Very well. Second day back after being out of town for a week. I'm raring to go.
Well, that's always good for the show to have the energy on the show. We have lots of fun on the show here, and we've got an exciting guest that we'll introduce in a few moments here. But I'd like to get an update, Lou, from last week's show and then what's happening in the news.
Well, I could cop a plea because I wasn't here, but I did listen to it. Our postscript from last week's show, we had Brad Holcomb, committee chair for Institute of Supply Management, otherwise known as the ISM. And we had Tony Nevis, who is the committee chair for the non-manufacturing report. And just to refresh everyone's memory who listened last week or those who didn't, the report on business came in at 56.6, which is significantly higher than the 50 breakthrough progressive moving forward number. And Tony Nevis's the non-manufacturing report also was significantly higher than 50. It was at 58.6, which indicates that the two internal economies that are going on here are still moving forward and strongly. We've learned from Brad Holcomb in the past that once you start getting near 60, you start getting into dangerous zone where things might get a little shaky, where things could back off. So, and we as All Metals and Forge Group, as a manufacturing company, we really like it in that 50 to 60 range. And that's a sweet spot for us. And I'm sure it is the same for many manufacturing companies of all types throughout the United States. So that brings, I would suggest that you listen to last week's show. There's some interesting facts and factoids about last month's report, about new orders, backlog, and so on. So go to mfgtalkradio.com and listen to last week's show. We also have a bit of a news bit that I'd like to talk about for a moment. We are an endorsed sponsor for MFG Day, which is the celebration of manufacturing in the United States. And it was October 3rd. And however, many states in the country and actually the United States, October is Manufacturing Month, and there seems to be more and more people getting involved in the manufacturing issues, being that manufacturing is being reshored and nearshored and all the rest of the new buzzwords. So I just wanted to report that the SME, the Small to Medium-Sized Enterprise Education Foundation, is just announcing this week that they are going to be implementing a scholarship for students pursuing careers in manufacturing technology, and other related fields. The applications for acceptance actually starts on November 1st, 2014. I would suggest that you go to their website. It's SME Education Foundation. I don't have the exact URL, but I'm sure you can find it. And this is something that just adds to the Manufacturing Day philosophy, and I think there's going to be actually a total of 10 awards, $3,000 awards that will be granted to the candidates. So tune in and see how U.S. is progressing in manufacturing and helping to fill those career jobs and manufacturing jobs throughout the United States. Tim?
Well, Lou, we can't talk about manufacturing unless we talk about quality. And today's guest is Michael Berry. He's the Senior Manager of Corporate Communications with ASQ, the American Society of Quality. He's responsible for brand management, business strategy, marketing communications, and strategic industry research initiatives. We're going to be talking about a number of issues surrounding quality with Michael. Michael, how are you today?
Great, Tim. How are you?
Just terrific. We're just very excited about having you on the show. I know that I want to give you a chance to share with our listeners what ASQ is and what its mission is before we get into kind of the meat of quality.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And Tim and Lou, it's great to be with you today and all the listeners. So thank you for the opportunity. A little bit about ASQ. Although we go by the acronym ASQ, it stands for American Society for Quality. And we're a global membership organization that's dedicated to quality and performance, excellence, initiatives, and professionals. So we have approximately 76,000 individual members, 60 enterprise members, which are tend to be medium, larger size companies, and then dozens of other smaller organizations around the world. ASQ provides quality, continuous improvement resources, knowledge resources, training, professional certification, advocacy support, as well as career development and networking resources. Prior to about 5 years ago, we were mainly domestic folks in the United States, and about 5 years ago made the decision to become a global organization. So we currently have a headquarters in Milwaukee, but we operate national service centers in India, China, Mexico, and the United Arab Emirates. We also collaborate with a network of what we call world partners, which are peer organizations spanning 20 countries. And then we further extend our reach through a network of 22 registered service providers that help deliver ASQ's training, certification in specific territories and markets around the world. And ASQ, just a little bit about the history. ASQ has been around for about 65 years. Our roots trace back to the end of the Second World War, when those that were in quality sought ways to sustain the quality improvement. So it was largely manufacturing-based, and that's has stayed our bread and butter since then. But today, the role of quality and performance excellence is plays a much broader role than it did, even 10, 20 years ago. Now that quality and continuous improvement encompass such dimensions as customer experience, supply chain, innovation, risk. Although we continue to champion manufacturing, we've also branched off into services including healthcare, technology, government, energy is becoming a hot area, and sustainability, among other fields. Tim?
Gee, I think quality in healthcare might be a good idea. That would be helpful. Michael, we talk about quality, I know in the 70s, 80s, quality was kind of a hot-button issue. And then in the 90s and first decade of the 21st century, it kind of went quiet. Did quality lose its cachet in that 20-year period and it's time for a comeback?
Well, Tim, that's a great question. And quality certainly did have a cachet back in the 80s and 90s. And that was in part due to the documentary of Japan Can, Why Can't We? And some of the listeners may be familiar with that. And that was largely driven by nationalistic fears between the U.S. and Japan, with Japan outperforming the United States. It was really time to say, okay, the United States, we got to get moving, and we got to stay competitive with Japan. And that actually is what fueled that quality movement back in the late 80s, when quality did become hot, and it was discussed in the boardroom and in C-suite circles. Unfortunately, its voice has since been diminished. And perhaps quality is implied, or it's seen as something that can't unlock any additional value. But either way, in order for quality to be effective and lead to any type of sustainable change, you know, leadership at the top has to be completely invested. And that was happening back in the 80s and 90s, but as we see, it's not happening nearly to the extent that it needs to. So, you know, Tim, to answer your question, absolutely, we need another quality movement. Tim.
Okay. And Lou, I've been in your shop in a couple of times, and I know that you're ISO certified. And as I understand it, ISO starts from the top, you, the president, down through the entire organization. I don't think there's a day that goes by that All Metals and Forge isn't talking about quality. Is that right?
Without a doubt. And actually, I just brought in, because I knew we were doing a quality show, I did bring in today my very first quality manual. I mean, we've been in operation since 72. In 89, we had our first quality manual, which was 20 pages long. And our quality department, we've now got three people in quality, and we have 20 volumes of manuals and things that need to be done on every order. And that happened with us in 1994. And when we started that, one of our friendly competitors said, gee, why are you going to allow yourself to be dictated to by a foreign power with regards to ISO? Foreign power being Switzerland,
right?
The only neutral country in the world. When I started that, we really started it for a marketing purposes, and very quickly discovered that we're making money as a result of avoiding screw ups and turning out a better product and less complaints from customers. And then all of a sudden, Michael, you might confirm this, that ISO probably started to really turn on in the early 2000s and is still strong. And many large companies today, we get vendor questionnaires, and they state very clearly on there that if you're an ISO registered company, just don't fill out the form, attach your copy of your certificate and send it on. And that, I believe, like I said, Michael, you can confirm that as to when that really started catching on. But how has ISO affected ASQ, or are you talking in different arenas?
Well, Lou, that's a really good point, and especially a good time to have the conversation around ISO with the ISO 9001 standard coming out next year. And when the last release was back in that standard in 2008, which was quite popular, and it's predicted to even be more so next year's release, because there are a number of changes that are taking place. But ASQ is actually very active in standards administration. And all of these technical groups even can get confusing to me. But ASQ is the U.S. organization that it administers the U.S. Technical Advisory Group to what's called the TC-176 Quality Management and Quality Assurance. Now, what that group is they're the ones that actually developed the ISO 9001 and ISO 9000. So as the administrator of the standard ASQ, we're responsible for providing support to that technical advisory group, subject matter expertise regarding the U.S. positions on that standard through a voting and commenting process at each stage. It's very formalized. So the subject matter experts are involved on both a national and an international level in the development of the ISO 9001 standard. And so through ASQ, we seek to educate, members, customers, and just the public at large in terms of what's coming down on this standard, because it is so big and far-reaching. And also, once it's released in 2015, ASQ is one of the few places you can actually purchase the standard. So whether you're looking to purchase a standard or organizations are looking to be recertified, you know, you can turn to ASQ for those resources. But there's plenty of education right there now that we have that we will be rolling out through a special program on the ASQ TV channel, because there's a lot of education that needs to be had and is starting up right now.
You brought up two points that I would like to address. One is the ASQ TV. I'd like you to explain that to our listeners. And number two, you mentioned that ASQ certification can be bought. What do you mean by that?
Or unless I heard it actual, wrong. Yeah, I mean, the actual update to that standard can be bought. Purchased. So to get the updates and the revisions to that actual standard, those need to be purchased. So similar to other standards in the marketplace. But what's also different this year is that there's a standard 9004, which actually goes along with 9001. And the importance of that document is that's more of the real world application, the how to, you know. So it's one thing to have a standard, but to really have the how to guide to actually implement and use it. That's why the 9000 is for, and four is part of that standard as well.
Where can they buy this product of yours? Can you give us your URL that the listeners can go to?
Sure. Right now, if visitors go to ASQ.org, there'll be information. There'll be information coming. Certainly in the coming months, more around the education, and then a few months after that, in terms of directing them to the exact page where they can purchase it. But if visitors go to ASQ.org, that'll be a good starting point.
Excellent. Tim,
Michael. I know that in working with the Institute of Supply Management, and we have had many of their executives on our show, they're just experiencing, or their members are just experiencing, purchasing being elevated to the level of the C-suite when it comes to the importance of purchasing and the overall picture of manufacturing. Where is quality? Where is QA today in terms of trying to get back at the table at the C-suite level?
Tim, yeah, that is a focus of ASQ, especially as the global voice of quality is elevating the importance of quality and the business benefits that quality can bring, and trying to elevate that back up to the C-suite. And, you know, making the case to the C-suite requires evidence that provides conclusive proof that there's an economic case for quality. And looking at bottom line results, market measures, operating measures, to reinforce the efficacy that quality does pay. And that is through various research efforts, strategic research efforts, industry research, that ASQ's really trying to gather the attention of C-suite executives through some recent research that ASQ has done, one called the ASQ Global Voice of Quality Research that was done last year, and then a research project that we've just rolled out with Forbes Insights on culture of quality. And that's part of our strategy for really trying to elevate quality up to the C-suite. ASQ also did a research study back in 2004 called Making the Economic Case for Quality. And again, that was in line with the fact that, to get the attention of those executives, we need to translate that into dollars and cents. And that study was, I mean, it was inconclusive. Some of the results that it showed in terms of how it affected business performance, you know, upwards at some examples, upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars and even into the billion-dollar range. A couple of these, and I'll just point one out because it's a famous one, and it was around Six Sigma and Jack Welch with General Electric. When he was the chairman back then, you know, Welch made Six Sigma a foundation of GE's strategy. And beginning in 95, they started with 200 projects. And then once their Six Sigma initiative expanded in 2 years, he estimated $320 million in productivity gains and profits. And within 4 years later, GE was publicly claiming $2 billion in annual benefits. So that's that was a great success story reaped by you know, a very large corporation. But United Technologies Corporation, that's another one that was profiled in this research. And during the years of implementing you know, quality in competitive excellence program, they called it their Achieving Competitive Excellence Program, UTC. In 10 years, the chairman went on record saying their total return to investors rose about 600%. So there's story after story of evidence of how quality, performance excellence, continuous improvement impacts the bottom line.
Tim? We're going to go to a quick commercial break here, Michael, and then we're going to come back and share with our audience some of the information that ASQ has gathered through their research with Forbes on the culture of quality. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
All Metals and Forge Group manufactures open die forgings in blocks, hubs, shafts, flanges, cylinders, gear blanks, and custom forge shapes, including seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, nickel alloys, copper and titanium for parts and assemblies in aerospace, oil and gas exploration, defense, machinery, transportation, shipbuilding, energy and power, pulp and paper, and many other industries. Visit steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
American Crane and Equipment Corporation in Douglasville, Pennsylvania is a leader in specialized cranes, hoists, and material handling equipment for industries including aerospace, nuclear, oil and gas, transit, construction, and waste handling. Call 877-877-6778 or visit americancrane.com. That's americancrane.com or 877-877-6778.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
We're back with Michael Berry, Senior Manager of Corporate Communications for ASQ, which is the American Society for Quality. And I know, Lou, during the break, you had a question about how ASQ works with the small and mid-sized enterprises.
I noticed that a lot of our conversation, not only today, but when we did a pre-show conversation with Michael, we talked a lot about the larger corporations, and obviously they're going to generate a lot of additional profits into the hundreds of millions. We're small. Our company is small, and we've been involved in QA since quality programs since 1994. I know it's not inexpensive because I've been paying the bills for it for 20 years. So my question to you, Michael, is ASQ prepared, suited for the backbone of U.S. manufacturing, which is the small and medium-sized companies?
Lou, absolutely, we are. And going back again to our roots, we were founded on manufacturing, and for several decades before we started to move into providing solutions and services to organizations, we were focused and dedicated to individuals, mainly in the manufacturing sector. And then as within the last 20 years, ASQ has started to see a large uptick in growth and demand from organizations of all different sizes who are looking for a partner to really help them advance through their quality journey and be able to provide customized solutions, because every industry is different. And I'll get into a little bit of the research in a few minutes, but that also talks about some differences, that there are differences between industries that require customized solutions. So although a few of the ones that we've named, we call our enterprise members, are our large Fortune 500 companies, the remainder of our business-to-business, our customers and members are small to mid-sized companies. And these are companies that are looking to ASQ really as a partner, so that no matter where they are, whether they have no quality program initiated or whether they're fairly mature, they're looking for ASQ to be their partner as they move into the future, to say, you know, what are some nuances with our own companies? How can we get help in, whether it be, you know, training or coaching or certification or, you know, adopting other types of quality methodologies? So that's something that ASQ works closely with those companies. And then as for smaller, mid-sized companies that might not have those types of research budgets, one thing that we pride ourselves on that we provide organizations is industry expertise. So through partnerships we have with our peer quality organizations around the world, and then our participation in standards development, which I talked about a little earlier, and then the industry, the strategic research, which we'll be getting into, that's where ASQ plays an important role in advancing quality and serving as a great resource to organizations.
Michael, I want to start to... Sorry, go ahead, Michael.
Especially among small and mid-sized companies that don't have the capabilities, those global capabilities, or in-house training and continuous improvement staff or departments. So, Tim?
That's what I wanted to begin to get into with you, Michael, was the research study you did with Forbes on the culture of quality. And I kind of sense three stages of company out there: a company that doesn't have a quality program, a company that's implementing a quality program, and a company that is they have a quality program and then they just need to expand it and improve it. Did your study identify what the barriers are to companies who don't have a quality program in terms of implementing one?
Tim, what the research took a look at is it specifically really looked at the some of the shortcomings which kind of one could conclude are probably some of the barriers for companies not implementing quality programs or at least expanding quality programs, and one of those certainly had to do with really some things that maybe we take for granted in companies, such as vision and values and leadership. And just to set the stage, there were two groups that we profiled in the study. One was senior executives, so those C-suite executives. And then the other group was quality professionals, so that we could make some comparisons between the two groups. And what we found was that really in both cases for organizations' visions and values was those really were not very clearly articulated and understood throughout the organization. And then when we talk about values, that was overall only 61% of the respondents in both groups thought that quality values were clearly stated. So we're really starting at the very top of the organization here. And then specifically when it came to leadership, and we're talking senior leadership, only 60% supported the quality vision and values unequivocally. So, you know, you're looking at roughly half. So starting at the very top, not having that foundation built, you can start to see where there's some cracks in the foundation and where and possibly why a solid quality platform is never fully developed.
Michael, I was certified originally in 1994, and it was 20 years ago, and it was a different, perhaps different mindset in terms of the employees, administrative people, people on the shop floor. And the typical line that was used was, well, it used to work before. Why do we have to change it now and become something other than what we are? And it took a great amount of pursuing and attitude changing and, you know, taking out the whip, so to speak, and get everybody on board. And frankly, it took a number of years. Are you seeing, hearing, experiencing those same situations today, 20 years later, or has there been any changes?
Well, Lou, there's certainly, I guess, always in the spans across industries, resistance to change and trying to hang on what worked in the past and just either an unwillingness or lack of clarity on what needs to be done to adapt to the present and be able to compete in the future. And it's interesting that you noted that because one research study that ASQ does every 3 years is called the Future of Quality Study. And what we do is we look at future trends that are impacting the quality and continuous improvement profession. And this is really to help business leaders look out into the future to say, okay, what's changing in the environment that we actually have to change to, you know, adapt to in our profession? And such things as of course, the rapid technology change,
the
aging workforce.
We lost our guest. I don't know what the technical issue is there, but
Lou?
What we can't hear, Michael. Now, Michael, if you can hear us, and if you would hang up and call back in, we'll get you reconnected here. I don't know why we have a loss here. Certainly, what Michael was identifying there and what I think Lou was talking about in terms of his own shop is that the senior executive in a business operation that wants to implement quality is going to have to adopt a vision for quality for their organization. And I'm sure that's a place where ASQ can help them understand what their vision needs to be or how to implement their vision. I think the next step of it certainly is values. You know, how important is it to that organization to have a full quality implementation you know, full quality implementation, and what depth or level of that organization. And I just want to check and see, Michael, are you back on the air with us now?
Lou, can you hear me? Hello, Lou?
Yeah, we still don't hear Michael if he's there. We're not hearing him. And then, of course, the next piece of the puzzle, both of those roll up to leadership. And I know that in Lou's experience, as he expressed, you know, one of the challenges is to get buy-in. It's very common for the existing employees who said, well, that's the way we've been doing it for the last 40 years, to wonder why they can't do it for the next 40 years exactly the same way. I also know that in speaking with Lou about his own organization, that it did make a significant difference In fact, the people who called him up and criticized and said, you know, why are you having a foreign organization dictate the quality of your product here in America? His answer to them was, you can either do it now or you can do it later, but you're eventually going to do it. And that's exactly what we've experienced, that the organizations now that poo-pooed ISO 20 years ago are now believing that they have to be ISO'd. In fact, the suppliers that are coming to them are looking for their certificates, and if they don't have them, it's unlikely they'll do business with them. So I think that's what you've experienced, Lou, over the years.
Absolutely, and we probably get somewhere around a half a dozen to nine or ten self-surveys a week. We have one individual that's just responsible for that, and the bulk of them, they just want a copy of our ISO certification, not only here in this country, but we do have a sales operation down in South America, primarily Brazil, and they want that ISO certification. Down there, they may be copying them and using them for themselves, but that's nonetheless, it's still very important that they are requesting that certification, being that from so many miles they can't see us, feel us,
right,
touch us, and so on. So it's been very successful for us.
And I think that's being accepted globally now, and I think it's going to continue to roll out. We are going to take a commercial break here, and we'll be back in just a few moments with Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
American Crane and Equipment Corporation in Douglasville, Pennsylvania is a leader in specialized cranes, hoists, and material handling equipment for industries including aerospace, nuclear, oil and gas, transit, construction, and waste handling. Call 877-877-6778 or visit americancrane.com. That's americancrane.com or 877-877-6778.
It's no secret that manufacturers are having trouble filling jobs. Now, with ThomasNet's new job board, help is on the way. For manufacturers, ThomasNetJobs.com is the go-to resource to recruit new talent. Post your jobs and get in front of thousands of potential employees. Or, if you're looking for a new job or you want to reinvent yourself, ThomasNetJobs.com offers exciting opportunities from the shop floor to the C-suite in supply chain management, engineering, production, or sales. Remember, ThomasNetJobs.com.
All Metals and Forge Group is an ISO 9001 AS and EN 9100 manufacturer of open die forgings and seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, copper, titanium, and nickel alloys. Visit us at steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
All Metals and Forge Group manufactures open die forgings in blocks, hubs, shafts, flanges, cylinders, gear blanks, and custom forge shapes, including seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, nickel alloys, copper and titanium for parts and assemblies in aerospace, oil and gas exploration, defense, machinery, transportation, shipbuilding, energy and power, pulp and paper, and many other industries. Visit steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Well, we're back with Manufacturing Talk Radio, and we're going to have to probably redo this show. We've got some kind of a technical glitch, and we're not sure whether we're broadcasting or not. Michael, I don't know if you're there or not. So
if you can hear us,
unfortunately, we cannot hear you. We certainly apologize for that, both our guest and our listeners. And we're going to reschedule this show and go back into quality and these reports because it's an important subject. But we're going to have to wrap up today's show early with the Manufacturing Talk Radio, and we will be back with you next week.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.